Welcome to the Treasure Corner, where we discuss all things concerning metal detecting and treasure hunting. I'm Dan Hughes. If you'd like to send me an email or drop me an MP3 voicer about the show, the email address here is thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And please visit our website, thetreasurecorner.com. From our tips and tricks department, a word about wintertime and treasure hunters. When the temperature drops and the snow falls and the ground is frozen solid, what can a treasure hunter do? It's a long wait until spring, and who wants to be separated from such a great hobby until warm weather returns? Well, I'm here to tell you there are a lot of things you can do with your treasure hunting hobby while you're waiting for the ground to thaw. Winter's a great time to research. First, hit the archives of your local library. Read up on your town or county's history. Find out where long-gone stores and schools used to be, where the townspeople picnicked on a Sunday afternoon, where the vacant lot was where kids played football and baseball. Some of the old-timers in town are eager to tell you tales about where the kids played during the Depression or where the traveling carnival show set up every summer. Next, jump on the internet and check out the latest detectors and accessories. Order catalogs. Read the treasure hunting forums. Meet treasure hunters from all over the world. Learn how people are making the most of their detecting time. Read that stack of treasure magazines you've stashed in your closet. If you're handy with tools, build yourself some display cases to show off the things you've found. Make your own sand scoop and save a ton of money. Just drill half-inch holes in a plastic food scoop. Clean your equipment. Pop off your coil cover and marvel at the junk that's between your coil and the cover. It's unbelievable the gunk you'll clean out. If you have slips of paper scattered about where you wrote down what you found, consolidate that information and make a database of your finds. List when and where you found each item, whether the soil was wet or dry, how deep it was, whether there were hot spots with several coins in the same area. Good record keeping here will help you a lot when you return to that area. Study your notes on where you've been and plan return trips to the places that paid off best for you. Make winter work for you. Okay, our topic this time is what to do about the crowds you attract when you're detecting. Whenever you detect parks or schoolyards or other public places where people are present, the odds are good that some of them will become curious enough to invade your personal space. Children especially can be bothersome. I've had them just about crawl into my lap to see what I'm doing. It's great that they're excited, maybe they'll get into the hobby when they get older, but right now you just want to be left alone. It's polite to speak briefly to onlookers to explain what you're doing and to show them some of your finds, but being sociable is time-consuming. If you have plenty of time, by all means, talk metal detecting to your new friend. But if you have a limited amount of time to detect, remember that whenever you're interrupted, your time spent hunting is reduced, and there is that much more of the park that you can't detect before you have to head home. There are a few good ways to keep most people from approaching you. Note I said most people. Some people won't take a hint. First, wear headphones so only you can hear your detector. This accomplishes two things. First, it lets you hear the weaker signals that indicate the deeper coins. And second, when you're wearing headphones, the people around you won't hear your detector beep. When your detector's speaker is on, you become a people magnet, and folks you didn't know were within a mile of you will suddenly appear and want to talk. It's like the old joke about how to be rescued when you're trapped alone on a desert island miles from civilization. You pull out a deck of cards and start playing solitaire. In no time at all, somebody will appear behind you, tap you on the shoulder, and say, "Hey, you can put that red jack on that black queen." Well, your detector's speaker will work even better than a deck of cards to pull those invisible people out of the woodwork. When you're short on time, every minute in the field is precious. Talk to people later. On the other hand, if you have the time and the inclination to talk, fine. Be a bit formal, but friendly. You never know who might be able to give you some tips on new places to hunt. I've had people I met in parks ask me if I'd come to their homes to try to find a lost ring. Usually when this happens, there's a nice reward if you're successful. Ultimately, it's up to you as to how to handle the situation. Here are a few tips I've learned from experience. If someone approaches me and I don't want to stop the chat, I'll smile, point to my headphones, and indicate I can't hear them. I'll say something like, "Sorry, can't hear, and I can't talk now. I'm short for time, and I want to get this done." If a child won't leave me alone, I'll pull a couple of pull tabs from my trash pouch and ask him to please throw them away, pointing to a trash can across the park. After a couple of trips to the trash can, he usually decides that hanging out with me isn't that much fun after all. Now, I'd never do this, but I know a guy who waits until the kid has his head almost in his hole, then he accidentally flips a trowel full of dirt into the kid's face. If you have a kid hanging around you as you detect the city park, ask him where he lives. If he points to a nearby house, tell him to run home and ask his folks if it's okay for you to detect their yard. Usually the parent will say no. Sometimes the parent will tell the kid to stay away from you, which is what you really wanted anyway. If the kid comes back and tells you his mom said it was okay for you to detect the yard, be sure to confirm with mom that she did say it was all right. You can go back to the park anytime, but hunting a private yard is almost always a better bet than hunting in a public park that has probably been regularly searched by many other treasure hunters. Sometimes when you're detecting a private yard, the homeowner's kid, or even the homeowner himself, will stand over your shoulder while you're working and generally make life miserable for you. If this happens and you reach the point where you can't take it anymore, turn off your detector, tell the homeowner you have to leave, you have an appointment, your detector's batteries are getting low, whatever, and that you'll come back later. Assuming that you haven't done anything to anger him, he'll probably say sure, and then you can come back when the kid's in school or the homeowner's at work. Just don't do anything to make anybody mad. Word gets around the neighborhood fast, and if a homeowner gets angry with you, you'll quickly find that nobody else on the block will let you do their yard. So, be nice. And so ends another exciting episode of The Treasure Corner. As always, drop us a line or a voice or MP3 note to thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. That's all one word, thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And check out our website, thetreasurecorner.com. Until next time, I'm Dan Hughes in The Treasure Corner.